The holidays will be here before you know it, and I have an easy gift idea that surely will fit everyone on your list. It's Osea's limited edition Super Glow Body Set. It includes three of Osea's best-selling body care products at a great value. Plus, it comes in a box so pretty, you may decide to skip the wrapping paper. The Super Glow Body Set includes full-size Undaria Algae Body Oil, Undaria Algae Body Wash, plus a travel-size Hyaluronic Body Serum. If you haven't already become an Osea convert, this is a great way to try their best-selling products at an incredible value. Save 32% on the set at OseaMalibu.com, plus an additional 10% off with code DatingWhileGray. It's your go-to gift for everyone on your list, including yourself. Give the gift of glow this holiday season with clean, clinically tested skincare from Osea. And right now, we have a special discount just for our listeners. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code DatingWhileGray at OseaMalibu.com. I love this time of year because whether it's a pullover or a button-up, I love sweaters. Quince is my go-to site. They're known for Mongolian cashmere sweaters priced from $50. In fact, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. That's because they partner directly with top factories. That cuts out the cost of the middleman, allowing the savings to be passed on to customers like you and me. And Quince works only with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing processes. So check out their sweaters. They also have beautiful leather jackets and so much more. Get cozy in Quince's high-quality wardrobe essentials. Go to quince.com/datingwhilegray for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/datingwhilegray to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/datingwhilegray. Hi, Laura here. For the past several months, I've been thinking about politics and love. I wondered, if romantic relationships are built on shared values, does that mean two people need to be aligned politically to have a deep connection and strong bond? My parents weren't always in sync in the voting booth. And remember James Carville and Mary Madeline? Their opposing views were the plot point of a true life love story. They met in the 90s when Mary was working to get the first President Bush reelected. James was a top advisor to rival Bill Clinton. Mary and James wound up tying the knot and are still together, two kids and 30 years later. But these are more polarized times. Is making and maintaining a love connection across the aisle even possible? I talked with older Americans navigating red-blue romance, some more successfully than others. Plus, I sought out expert advice on bridging political differences in kinder and gentler ways. With those interviews, Dating While Gray teamed with American Public Media for a one-hour radio broadcast special called Love Across the Divide. It aired on public radio stations across the country in the weeks leading up to the presidential election. Today, we're bringing you part one of this special. I hope it inspires and encourages all of us to turn toward each other and embrace tolerance, no matter which side of the aisle, if any, we may find ourselves aligned with. Let's show our leaders how to do it. Thanks for listening. Politics. It's one of those topics one should never discuss in public. At least that's what I was taught. Maybe you were too. But that was a time before social media. It's now so easy and tempting to share our opinions, even if that means arguing and name-calling supposed loved ones and strangers alike. The no politics policy was also a time before the advent of online dating. This technology enables love seekers to cast a wide geographic net to meet potential partners. We want to know what they look like, if they prefer the beach over the mountains, and more, we want to know political leanings, especially if we're older. I'm Laura Stassi, host of the podcast Dating While Gray. A study by the Pew Research Center found online daters 50 and older are more likely than younger daters to say it's very important a person's profile include political affiliation. Sure, there were divisions before the 2016 clash between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, but the gap seems to have grown even wider, and many Americans who have previously been neutral or uninterested now feel like they really need to choose a side. According to Pew, singles looking for dating partners are outright rejecting anyone who's chosen the other side.
So I'd like to think that I'm not a partisan. And in my particular opinion right now is that, you know, there's Democrat, Republican, then there's crazy.
That's a psychotherapist and social worker we're calling Lynn. She describes herself as open-minded, even while reflexively passing on conservative dating profiles. But then Lynn meets one of her neighbors, which leads her to question how tolerant she actually is.
I'm one of the few people in my neighborhood that doesn't own a dog, and I'm absolutely convinced that the only way to make friends in my neighborhood is if you own a dog. Mm-hmm. So when I go for a walk around my neighborhood, I make it a point to say hi to the dogs. And this guy had a dog that was the same breed of dog that I grew up with, and I hadn't seen one like that. So I didn't see the person, I just saw the dog. And then I asked him about his dog, and he turned around and we just started talking. And I asked him, he had some insignia on his cap, and I asked him about it. And it turned out we were both in the same field.
Oh.
For one thing. Just like, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Right? He had served time in the military, and I was an Army brat, and my daughter was in the same branch of service that he was. Like, there was one thing after another after
wow.
another. And I thought to myself, oh, I'm sure he's married. You know, like, I mean, he has to be. And I looked, and I didn't see a wedding ring or anything. And then he said something about his daughters. I said, so you live with your daughters? He said, no, I live alone. And he stressed, I live alone.
Aww.
And I thought, we'll get this. Yeah, I have to talk in code, right? So I said, yeah, I live by myself over there, you know, and I pointed and we kept talking for a while. And I said, well, it was really nice to meet you. And I was the one who said, would you like to get together for coffee sometime? He said, that'd be great. I'd love that.
Oh, good for you.
And I said, well, how do I get in touch with you? And he said, he started to reach into his shirt. He said, well, I don't have a card and I don't carry my cell phone on walks. And I didn't either. So he told me his name, which was an easy to remember name. And he said, just go Google me. He told me the name of his company and that kind of thing. So I went home, you know, I thought, is there a time limit? Is it too fast to do this? What do I do? You know? So I came home and I Googled his name. I found his email. And then I thought, well, I'm going to just take just a look at his Facebook page. And it said conservative. And I thought, of course, this was too good to be true. And I talked to him for 20 minutes and he was really a nice guy, like a nice guy.
And that surprised you.
Yeah. Like, well, yes, it was like, how can you be a conservative and a nice guy? And that's where I started thinking about, I just thought God had a sense of humor, because if I go on a dating site, I don't look at people like that. And so I never, if I'd seen him on a dating site, I would have just swiped left. And this was a case of, oh, I don't know what it means. He used to work with people with disabilities. I mean, he has a dog. He's, you know, like all this stuff like that. And I thought, oh, this is a conundrum. I'm not one of those people that thought I would never date somebody who voted for somebody different or was a different political party. It depends on who the person was. Like, if who they voted for was reflective of their intelligence and their values versus that I disagreed with their values, then that would be a problem. But I would never just dislike somebody because of their color or their party or something like that. But these days, when I see conservative, I like, you know, I go crazy.
Okay, so you know he's a conservative, and you know he's very nice, and you know he's smart, which kind of surprised you.
We've had two coffee dates, and I was sitting there thinking he was going to judge me. You know, because in my mind, conservatives are all judgmental. I was sitting there thinking, this is all going really nicely, but what's going to happen when he finds out I'm a liberal? I decided I had to broach the subject. I said, well, you know, when I went to look up your name, I did notice that you were conservative on your Facebook page. And I said, I want to out myself right now that I'm probably in the category of, you know, liberal or progressive. We started talking about it. He was raised by Truman Democrats in the Midwest. And he told me that he had voted for McGovern and he was a Democrat. And I said, you know, I would be really fascinated to know how a McGovern Democrat gets to be a conservative. And I said, I don't have time now, but I would really, I would really like that. He actually said to me in a text message, he said something about it's uncanny how much we have in common, except for our political worldview.
He's definitely right, but is he right?
That's a great question. I mean, this is going to be a total experiment.
Lynn made a new friend, but ultimately the neighbor was not a love connection. She tells me their red-blue divide isn't really an issue. It's more a general lack of momentum. This real-life encounter has Lynn rethinking her online dating parameters. Still, she's finding it hard to give a chance to self-described red voters. That's not the experience of a widow named Vicky. Like Lynn, Vicky tends to lean left, but she agrees to a blind date with her friend's friend, Peter. He's divorced and leans right. In fact, conservative politics is Peter's bread and butter. I talked with Vicky and Peter around Thanksgiving in 2020. Joe Biden had won the election. Then President Trump was contesting it. And I wanted to hear how Vicky and Peter are navigating any political tensions in their personal life since meeting about a year after the 2016 race.
Vicky and I agreed to meet for drinks at a place that was convenient for both of us. And we must have talked for two, three hours.
Yeah.
And I thought she was charming, delightful, and entertaining and gorgeous. Well, I mean, that goes without saying. It's radio, so you can't see, but trust me. Trust me on this one. But I didn't think she was interested in me. And this is actually something we discussed the other day. You know, how could you know after one encounter whether or not it's something you want to pursue? And having been on the online thing and having the coffees and the dinners, I know easily how quickly people can make up their minds. No, this is not someone I want to be with. And I thought she was entertained, but that she was not interested in another date. And I was very disappointed. And then, you know, in saying goodbye, she made it clear that she wanted me to ask her out again. So I was very pleased.
I didn't have any idea if it would go anywhere. I mean, it was 2 hours of conversation. I'm in sales. I can talk to a wall if I need to. So I had a lovely evening. I enjoyed the company, but I didn't know enough to say whether or not this was someone I wanted to have a serious relationship with or entertain anything other than, another evening out and get to know each other. You know, one of the unfortunate factors of dating after loss is you don't really know how to date, and I think everybody's in that same boat. I mean, whether it's a divorce or a death, it's probably been a very long time at our age since anybody's been dating. So we really don't know how to do it.
Now, I was never any good at it to begin with. I got married at 23.
To me, it was just like, I found him interesting. We had great conversation. And I was like, I'd like to see him again. I don't know if I wanted to become anything other than just go out again, but I didn't know I was supposed to know that yet.
So before you went out with him, did you know what he does for a living?
Yeah, that was part of...
That's actually how I knew our mutual friend.
Were there any red flags?
My parents are very involved in politics, and I don't necessarily share theirs. My husband had very strong opinions, and I didn't necessarily share his.
We'll hear more from Peter and Vicky about navigating their red-blue divide. That's after the break. It's not too early to start thinking about New Year's resolutions. One of mine? Travel more. Like Portugal, I've never been. I know learning my host country's language can make any trip more meaningful. Plus, studies have shown that learning a new language can improve memory and problem-solving skills, maybe even delay the onset of dementia. I'm planning to make Rosetta Stone my language teacher. It's the trusted expert for 30 years. With millions of users and 25 languages, it offers fast language acquisition with a speech recognition feature that gives feedback on pronunciation. It's also convenient. You can learn anytime, anywhere with the mobile app or at your desktop. And here's an amazing value. Rosetta Stone offers a lifetime membership. That's 25 language courses for 50% off. That should cover every place on your bucket list. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. Dating While Gray listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today today. Shopping malls are not my thing, especially when I'm looking for holiday presents. Not only because of the crowds, but also I like to find unique gifts. That's why I appreciate Uncommon Goods. They scour the globe for original, handmade, remarkable gifts for everyone on your list. Like the Tunisian-tiled handmade serving tray. Or how about a box of custom message shortbread cookies? Plus, with every purchase you make, Uncommon Goods gives back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. So far, they've donated more than $3 million. When you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. Many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches, so shop now before they sell out this holiday season. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/datingwhilegray. That's uncommongoods.com/datingwhilegray for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. Okay, women, who among us has not had hormonal issues? We're not only dealing with changes our bodies go through, but also hormonal disruptors in our environment. The good news is there's help. It's by Happy Mammoth, and it's called Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. And maybe the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews of Hormone Harmony. And there are more than 30,000 reviews to date. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code DATINGWHILEGRAY at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code DATINGWHILEGRAY for 15% off today. I'm Laura Stassi, host of Dating While Gray, and we're back with part one of our election season special with American Public Media, Love Across the Divide. We're picking up with Peter and Vicky, who share how they're navigating political differences in their romantic relationship.
I did notice in the, in the online dating profiles for so many people, they would just be adamant, no Trumpers, no this, no that. If you're a Trumper, don't even bother. If you don't believe in the patriotism of Trump, don't bother. I'm like, how has this become such a criteria for people? Differing opinions, one, they make for much more interesting conversation. And two, I think that's kind of how the country works. People have differing opinions. And if we all live in this world where we only hear the same opinion, then I don't think it becomes very productive. And this particular president has been a little bit more polarizing than others, a lot more. And it comes into play with the two of us often. I mean, we have some rather spirited conversations. But at the end of the day, it's a conversation. And I, as much as I would like to change his perspective, I know I'm not going to. He had held that long well before he met me. And I'm comforted a little bit in that there's logic and rationale behind it. It's not the blind, you know, I'm going to wave my flag and do it without questioning or without introspection. And I think that makes it really important. I think if he was somebody out there that was just blindly waving the flag, I don't know that we would have made it.
First of all, I'm enormously patient. Coming up in my field, and even before that, I used to do politics before I opined on them for a living. And I used to think that my job was to convince everybody else that I was right, they were wrong, and to force an agreement from them. And then one day, someone who I had great respect for said that I needed to understand that people have a right to be wrong. And what he meant was, in a robust, vibrant American democracy, you don't want everyone thinking the same thing, and people are entitled to their own opinions. From my perspective, it might be wrong. From their perspective, it's right. But they have the right to their opinion. And so it dawned on me that really what my job was to present a case for a particular candidate, a particular issue, a particular legal opinion, whatever it might be, with reason and facts as best I possibly could, and hopefully persuade someone who either had not yet made up their mind or who was aligned along a different axis that in fact I was correct. And I raised my children that way, that you have a right to your own opinions. You don't have a right to your own facts.
That's interesting you say that, because I feel like from what I'm hearing, and I'm sort of poking to be devil's advocate, you have a right to your own opinion, but you don't have a right to your own facts. There are a lot of Republicans who could not vote for President Trump for this time around because there seems to be alternative facts are okay.
Well, alternative facts is a legal term that's legitimate when you're in a jury trial and one advocate will ask the jury to consider a certain set of facts. The opposing counsel may have an alternative set of facts that they would like considered by the jury. Alternative facts, as it was taken and manipulated after Kellyanne Conway used the phrase, is a euphemism for making things up.
Well, because too often in this political cycle, that's a lot what it's felt like, is it that a lot of things, because the facts are not shared, if there are alternative facts, it would be really useful if they could be shared because we don't see them. And I don't really want to get into a whole thing about the media, but because the alternative facts are not shared, it feels like outright made up statements.
I will concede that that's true, that there have been statements made by the president and by people who work for the president that cannot be backed up factually. But I will also say that that's not unusual. And so that's some of the things that we talk about and where we find common ground, even though we may differ politically, is trying to keep the conversation focused on facts.
Is there some topic that you all just try to come to an agreement on and cannot?
I don't think we have to agree.
Yeah, I don't think there's many that we agree on.
I love Vicky and I respect her. And I think that she doesn't give herself enough credit for the information that she has stored in her brain. She says that I win on the fact points, but I don't have to agree with her. And she doesn't have to agree with me for us to have a successful relationship.
I think there's a couple of topics that, I mean, I won't even parse, you know, won't go down the path because I know that it will become, because it crosses beyond the political divide, like say abortion for one. I mean, you know, we've had a couple of conversations about it. We have very differing opinions about that. And it is, you know, it is both a political and a religious component for him. And I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm not going to go down that path. I know I'm never changing his mind on that one ever. I mean, I can't imagine any scenario in which he would be in support of it. And, you know, that's fine. You do you. But I know that, you know, that's not, because that's such an emotional landmine, there's no point in going down that one.
Are there some issues that you think have become politicized over the years that should not be a political, it should be humane?
Oh, yeah. Yes. There are all kinds of things in the political arena that don't belong there.
Abortion.
Well, again, we may disagree on that, but there's too much politics. You know, we're supposed to be a self-governing people. The founders determined that we were sovereign. The people were sovereign. That's why the Constitution begins, "We the people." That is a important idea. It was a revolutionary idea at the time. It's the idea that lots of other parts of the world seek at some point to emulate. But that doesn't mean that every conversation has to be political. It also doesn't mean you have to win every conversation. And one of the things that bothers me about my industry is that they now, rather than cover the different sides of a story, they cover politics like they cover sports because it's easy. You know, this team is ahead, this team is behind, bases loaded, you know, two strikes. This is all easy to write about, and then we can go have drinks or play golf. But if you want to write about Joe Biden's healthcare plan, you have to read Joe Biden's healthcare plan. And I don't recommend that anybody, unless you have insomnia, because it will just put you right out, as will most public policy documents. But it's hard to do. But what that does is it moves politics into the who's ahead, who's behind, who won, who lost matrix, away from the need to find consensus that most all of us can agree about. You know, the founders put so many checks and balances into the federal system and into the federalism that they gave us.
But it sure feels like a lot of that's gone away.
There are assaults on it because some people aren't getting what they want quickly enough.
All right. So I want to talk about things that clearly you're on one side. I assume you voted for two different candidates.
Yeah.
What is it about your relationship that invigorates you, inspires you?
I think it's the mutual respect. You know, I think that that was something that was very important to me in my marriage. You know, partnership and respect and friendship, I think, are three baselines that if you don't have those three, you don't have a hope of anything more. For a future, for the romantic side, you have to have those three before the rest can become a possibility.
I think Vicky's totally amazing. And I consider myself lucky that she cares for me as much as she does. That's a new feeling for me. That's certainly part of it. And this may not be the answer that you're looking for, but I think that there's a mutual recognition that our relationship is the most important thing, that the politics, the economics, the friendships she has, that she brings to the table, the friendships that I have that are brought to the table, all of those are secondary to the relationship itself. And that if we get out of sorts on something, that the need for reconciliation is more important than the need for being right, that there's nothing that is so important, or at least that we have encountered so far, that is so important that the need to be right overcomes our ability to coexist as partners in our universe where we're both generally pulling in the same direction.
Is there anything else I need to know? Is there anything else you want to say to each other?
I hate your politics, but I love you. I don't hate them.
Okay. That's
I disagree with your politics, but I love you.
That's not the way I would have put it. I'm just going to say I love you, and I'm very lucky to have you in my life.
Vicky and Peter are still together. In fact, they're now engaged. They've looked for a place to buy together, but haven't had any luck. So for now, they're maintaining separate homes, which suits both of them. Vicky wrote in an email that, quote, "Paperwork or not, we've built an incredible and growing family. In the time we've spent together, we've had three children get married and watched two become parents. There's a third grandchild on the way." Vicky and Peter also, quote, "continue to treat one another with love, care, and respect, acknowledging our differences and celebrating our commonalities. We learn from each other every day." I have to say, I really admire that. And I'm speaking as someone who's lately done a lot of Facebook unfollowing and unfriending. I don't even want to get into it. How do we engage in politically charged conversations especially with loved ones.
One tip is that there have to be many conversations, not one. This is not a conversation about where you plant the flag, and that's it.
That's psychotherapist Ken Page. We'll be hearing a lot more from him. Plus, listeners share how they feel about labels like feminist and woke. And more studies on romance and political differences. That's all coming up next week on part two of Love Across the Divide, the Dating While Gray radio broadcast special with American Public Media. See you then. Dating While Gray's audio production and mix is by Steve Lack Audio. Theme music by D. Peter Schmidt. Please like and follow Dating While Gray wherever you get podcasts. That way you'll never miss an episode. And if you're so inclined, leave a review letting everyone know what you love about us. For more on the show, check out datingwhilegray.com. That's where you can find bonus content, along with links to send me questions, comments, tips, and true stories through email and voicemail. You know I love hearing from you. You can also sign up for the free Dating While Gray e-newsletter, delivered most Fridays to your inbox. Also at datingwhilegray.com, click on the Sponsors tab to find discount codes from our show's sponsors. Please support the companies that support Dating While Gray. To make a more personal gift, click on the Support Us tab. Again, that's all at datingwhilegray.com. I'm Laura Stassi. Thanks so much for listening.